This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Friendships can last for a lifetime, or they can crumble. When the connections between two people fail to hold firm, that often raises questions about what went wrong. That happened to producer Joe Bevilacqua and a longtime friend, and the pondering has gone on for years.
Tuesday, September 5th, 1967. That day the Beatles recorded I Am the Walrus. But this story is not about John and Paul. It's about me and a friend of the time. We'll call him Steve. We met that day and stuck together for the next 13 years. It begins as I stand on the playground of St. Cecilia's Catholic School in Island, New Jersey. The first day of my second grade is about to begin. Out of a swirling crowd of kids steps a short, stocky boy. He walks up to me and asks, "You want to be best friends?" I say, "Okay." Steve and I connected immediately, and were soon inseparable at school and home. We created our own world. We made each other laugh with funny voices and characters, and by recreating things we saw on TV and in the movies. The Godfather came out in 1972. We produced our version the same year.
Godfather, Godfather, I'm here! But I don't have the bag, see?
Why not? My son, my daughter, I mean, my son.
Well, I got Willoughby. He knows where the bags are, see?
Good, my son.
At St. Thomas Aquinas High School, we tried out for the Diary of Anne Frank and impressed the drama coach with our odd audition choice, a rendition of Abbott and Costello's Who's on First.
What's the guy's name on third base?
What's on second?
Asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Third base.
Soon we were performing at talent shows at malls and hotel ballrooms and on local public access television.
Yeah. Isn't
that? Oh, man, I'll guess you're not shot like that.
Well, I just, you know.
It's right in my ears, man.
It goes with the song.
Yeah, but why hot in my ears, man?
Well, it's an authentic calypso shout.
Yeah, but why is it next to me?
When we moved on to Middlesex County College, Steve and I founded a comedy troupe called Liquid Comedy and ventured out into the local club scene.
32 inches. Soft. Ah, soft.
Steve and I saw no end in sight. Our childhood play had managed to turn into a grown-up vocation. We talked about where our skill and talent could take us. Always together. It was all possible. That is, until anything goes. Now, I won't tell you the long version, but Steve won the job of directing the play, and I was in it. Somewhere along the line, a story got started that I was trying to get Steve removed. It wasn't true, but I did suggest to our old high school drama coach that, well, he could use some help. This turned into stealing Steve's thunder. In any case, from my point of view, Steve shut me out. Our friendship just stopped. Things got so tense, it even broke up the comedy troupe and forced us to separate colleges. I felt lost. I mean, it was Steve and Joe since second grade. Now 21 years have passed. At our 25th high school reunion, no Steve. And my fellow alumni bombarded me with questions. Where's Steve? Have you seen Steve? Say, Joe, is Steve here? Well, I mean, Abbott without Costello? Lennon without McCartney? Simon without Garfunkel? I tried a few times over the years to find Steve, but always reached a dead end. I had given up completely until I recently heard something on the radio.
To reestablish an old friendship.
It was Paul Simon of Simon and Garfunkel explaining why they were reuniting.
We've known each other since the age of 11. And whatever it was, the squabbles as they're called, that's pretty much what it was, just squabbles. It was time to just say, forgive, forget, move on. It's not like you have forever in life.
I realized that if Simon and Garfunkel could do it after all these years, there was hope for Steve and me. With an invigorated sense of purpose, I restarted my search. Old friends knew nothing. Former teachers hadn't heard from him, and his phone number was unlisted. After months of nearly harassing Steve's parents by phone, his mom pointed to the incident over Anything Goes as the root cause of the split. But What were these horrible things his mom alluded to? Well, I pressed on, found Steve's mailing address on the web, and began sending him nostalgic packages containing pieces of our past. The book we used to learn who's on first, a CD of our childhood comedy, and heartfelt letters in which I tried to mend some fences. After the third unanswered letter, I asked other members of Liquid Comedy to try and contact him. The result? Steve finally emerged in the form of an email to Liquid Comedy member Tom.
Tom, I want you to know that I have never felt any animosity toward you. Here's the thing. Many things happened that were hurtful at that time. The story about making fun of me for sleeping at a party has come up. Frankly, I didn't remember it right away, but after thinking about it, I do remember it. And the reason that I was upset at the time was not because you guys were teasing me, but because I always believed that someone, and I always believed that it was Joe, although I don't know that for sure, drugged my drink just to screw with me. Well, it wasn't funny. Bottom line is that I have no intention of being part of any reunion or renewing old friendships. If you speak with Joe, tell him that I don't intend on writing him back. By the way, this email address is not mine. I'm using a third-party system that can't be traced back to me.
Wow. I had no idea. I'm upset that he thinks this about me, but, well, I can take solace in the truth. I now know that Steve has held a grudge all these years for things I didn't do. And there's not much I can do about it. But what started as a search for one long-lost friend has evolved into a full-scale theater department reunion. I'm pretty sure Steve won't be there. But many of my other college friends will. They'll be there to share more than just a reunion. It will be a long-overdue wake for the death of a friendship.
Another guy gets up and hits a long fly ball to be caught. Why? I don't know. He's on third, and I don't care.
What was that?
I said I don't care.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
That story from radio producer and voice actor Joe Bevilacqua.